You're on your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and tell you who's fired up for this weekend. It's not just because of the Caulfield Cup, of course, but he's read the newspaper and it's got him going. I'm joined by John Letts, my horse racing expert. John, how's it going?
Yeah, Jordan, it's really, really good. Had a good week. I can tell you something, Jordan. It was just through friends of mine that I had to go and visit, and I had to make three, well, I didn't have to, but I made three hospital calls this week. One to Flinders, one to Noarlunga, and one to St Andrews.
So you've been all over the place.
Yes, and they're friends of mine, and they're not in good health, and there's a lot of problems with them. But everywhere I went, those three hospitals, the hospitality was unbelievable. The nurses, the doctors were just so accommodating. And all of this was, you know what I think of journalists anyway, but all of this stuff and the ramping, and I said, well, what's this with the ramping? And I said, you know the biggest problem with the ramping? I said, what? They said, people ring up and they've got a sore thumb and they want an ambulance. He said, and a lot of the times they don't even need the ambulance, and that's what's causing it. And, of course, the COVID is not helping, but they're giving the hospital system a bit of a run around over all of this. But the thing is, it's a lot of us is caused by our minor problems. That's what's causing the ramping. So if you've got a sore thumb or a sore finger or you don't feel well and it's not serious, get your GP.
Yeah, for sure, because the paramedics are there for emergencies.
Exactly.
Essentially. And for how busy they are on a daily basis, yeah, you want to make sure that you're not overreacting to what you're calling them for.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jordan, and something else too. Tell me, do you think this will ever happen? These COVID offenders getting fined, do you think they'll ever pay it?
I assume they will, because it's only going to get worse for them. But
Well, if they're silly at the start, they're going to be silly at the finish, aren't they? Yeah, they're stupid at the start, stupid at the finish. Get vaccinated. Don't be an idiot, because, and there was an article in the press this week about one guy said, oh, well, if we all get vaccinated, how come the system, you know, we can still get the COVID? But the thing is, and as you and I know, if we do get it and we're vaccinated, which we've had it now, and we're vaccinated, we don't get it as bad as what people that haven't been. So it's a life and death thing. So if you want to play the cards with your own life, we'll play it, but don't play it with everyone else's. Just use your brain and get out there and get it done.
That's another thing as well. If you want to, if COVID comes back to South Australia, community cases, avoid ambulance ramping by getting your vaccine, so you're not one of those cases being rushed to hospital.
Yeah, good thought. And as you know, and we know, and it's no good pushing it under the carpet and saying it won't come here, because everybody knows, George, and we know it's just a matter of time before it gets here. But why don't we all get vaccinated before it gets here? And then we've got a decent fight on our hand. We've got a little bit of something in our favour, haven't we?
Yeah, that's exactly what Nicholas Sperry has been asking people to do. You know, while the going's good, get the jab.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what I had this week. Oh, well, I don't. Now that the trade period's over, I thought, oh, that's good. We won't have any more rubbish in the paper about football and that. I mean, I love football, but, oh, God, we're out of trade period.
Nothing interests me less than trade period. It is such a fuss is made over it, and it is the least interesting thing you can talk about when it comes to football.
It's a load of junk. It's just rubbish. But they've got nothing else to write about, because they can't.
It's the off-season.
They can't think of themselves something sooner. Now, also, I tell you what, something which really this week actually bugged me a little bit, how we are criticising Australia because we're not doing enough for the climate change. Now, I want these so-called front men and women that are out there telling us what to do about climate change and what we should be doing, and I don't think they've got there any experience themselves anyway, but I want them to go to China, I want them to go to India, and I want them to go to Russia and tell them what to do about it.
The thing about...
See how courageous they are then.
The thing about China and India, though, is that we're selling them coal. So we're adding to their emissions, and I know China's committed to using less coal. It is the thing, though. It's like we can't control other countries with what they're doing. We can control Australia and what we're doing, and what we're doing is obviously not enough, which is why we're still waiting on that commitment for at least net zero by 2050, which hasn't been signed off on yet.
Yeah, but you look at our emissions compared to theirs.
Yeah, but it's not a competition. It's about doing the best that we can for ourselves. Like, we can't, you know, we can't control what China. Well, we obviously can't control what China's doing, as has been proven over the last couple of years.
You wouldn't want to try and go to Russia either. You wouldn't want to go to India and try and let your voice be heard. But I thought it was really great, yeah, because lovely when I read this last week. It was China's facing a power crisis and rolling outages as it sticks to its snubbing of Australian coal, with exports dropping to 1% of previous levels. You know what I'd be doing? I'd be making them pay through the nose as much as they can. Just $24 million worth of coal used for making steel, which the first quarter of the year, compared to $2 billion the year before. Hey, now, isn't that... That's music to my ears. I just love that. I said, well, what you did to us, I won't say what they did, but we all know. But I just think, you know, isn't it... There's a word, isn't it? What's that word? Karma, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it comes around. Now, this is something else I've got to talk to you about, too, and I don't know... Looking at you, I don't think you ought to take any notice of this, but I'm just watching all of these on the TV, all of these adverts about diet. You see the adverts about diet, and they say, take this pill or you drink this drink and you'll lose weight. I went through that for 30 years. I didn't do any of that stuff, and I just exercised and ate less. Some people are built bigger than others, and they're not. No matter what they do, they're not going to lose weight. So... and like the other ones, and a friend of mine said to me last night, he said, you look at the adverts that they do on face creams. They do it all on young people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't they do it on older people and see if it works?
I guess so. They want to target young people who are worried about, I guess, or, you know, they want to hold on to their youth as long as possible, John. But
They're not going to.
No, unfortunately not.
They're not going to. Yeah. What about, and also, Jordan, before we get into anything else, about which I thought was... animal cruelty. Again, we get the animals have got no voice, and we've seen situations this week again where animals, I mean, they talk about the racing industry with these animal activists, and they got a right to protest, and I've got nothing against that. But let them have a look in the paper and let them look at TV, some of these animal activists. And I was talking to one the other day, she was a lovely lady, and, you know, when you look in the paper or you look on the TV, there's people starving dogs to death over months and animals in some of the most diabolical conditions that you can put them in, and the live sheep trade. Well, why don't we get a brain like some of the New Zealanders have used? And all we have, we have the processed meat, we process the lamb. If they want to buy it, they'll buy it from us overseas because they've got nowhere else to buy it. So if they don't want it, we'll let them starve to death. That's my thought. But, I mean, there's nothing worse, and you've seen it on TV, Jordan, where those sheep are transported overseas. What's the government done about it?
Yeah, well, I remember it was a big hoorah about it a few years back as well, and then you just stop hearing about it. But, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Don't get on to politicians. We got too many of them. Thomas Playford, when he was in power, he had two advisors. 3 years ago, we checked up, and the Labor government had over 180 advisors. Now, how many advisors do you need to get one brain?
Yeah, well... How many advisors does it take to screw in a light bulb kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, look, honestly, Jordan, it's Friday night, they'll be there to pick their wages up, and that brings me up to another one, David Penberthy. You know, David, I don't agree with a lot of what he writes, but he says in this morning's paper, which is very, very good, I thought his article was terrific this morning, because he said, this guy, and his name is Dan Krieger, and I don't know him, never heard of him, says he loves it. He said, Dan Krieger says he loves his job so much, he would do it for a can of baked beans. Huh? And which the taxpayers would say that could probably be arranged.
Yeah, well,
you know what?
A can of beans is a whole lot less expensive than $115,000 a year.
and he's getting an extra $150,000 a year, right?
Yeah, it's
and who's paying it? Us mug.
Yeah, the whole situation around, I guess, the Liberal Party crumbling into itself is interesting because, you know, all these, it's the difference between the more moderate and the more conservative side of the Liberal Party. And so the more conservative side aren't getting their way, so they're spitting the dummy, sitting on the crossbench instead. But they're only, you know, that's not helping anyone. They're still probably going to be voting with the Liberal Party on most things, except, of course, when it comes to installing a new speaker. But
the wages have gone up.
It's one of those things. I can't imagine it's going to be a fun time for the Liberals at the next election because it's such a mess at the moment. And the election is only, what, 5 months away?
Yeah, the election's 5 months away. But you know what my thoughts are on it? Mark McGowan has done a terrific job in West Australia because he's a strong man. He stood up. He's kept their state free. Stephen Marshall's kept our state free. Would you like to live in New South Wales or Victoria?
No, but even before COVID, that was the case.
I just think people, they don't know when they've got someone there that's fighting for them and doing what they're trying to do is make it good for us to live here. Look at this in the paper this yesterday. State opposition health spokesman Chris Picton, whoever he is, I don't know, says there is a difference of opinion between SA Health and Premier Stephen Marshall, but he typically doesn't offer an opinion of his own. Isn't that typical?
Oh, that's opposition for you.
Honestly, fair dinkum. We've got too many politicians. We should chuck 95% of them out and get the others to work together, and then we'll have a better country to run here, and we won't have all of this rubbish that we've got to pick up and read in the paper every day of the week.
Now, John, we are running short on time, so we should get to our tips. Caulfield Cup this weekend.
Caulfield Cup this week, but very quickly, Jordan, before I go, a little an old mate of ours up at Port Augusta, Forky, the groundsman up there at Port Augusta Race Club. He's not going too crash hot at the moment, but we wish him well from you and I and the guys at the radio station. Lovely guy. He's a groundsman up there, been there for a long time, but hopefully he's on the improve in the next few weeks. Now, the Caulfield Cup, Jordan, which is a big race, and it was interesting to look in there. One guy made a comment, why don't they put the Everest, which I'm not even interested in the Everest. That's up in Sydney tomorrow, but not even an international horse in it. It's the same ones that are running around every week, you can see in that. Whereas the Melbourne Cup itself and the Caulfield Cup, they get international horses. But anyway, we'll have a look at Moorefield tomorrow. In race one, I like number three, a horse called Wings of Pastrami. It's about $4. Race two, number two, Johnny Thunder, is $5. Race three, Caracasoon, about $3 or $4. Phil and I had a very good win last week, but I doubt whether she'll run again in the wet. But so race three, number one. Race four, I like number five, Street Tough. Race five, number two, Brownie, $3. Race six, number seven, Rock Harbour, $6. Race seven, number six, she won for us the other day. She's $5 again. Race eight, number nine, Howe, is about $4. Race nine, number two, Apache Star. Now, we had a lot of rain down here last night, Jordan, so the track might play a little bit dicey tomorrow, so just be wary. Caulfield, race one, number five, Cena's Express, about $6. Race two, Vianello is $3. Race four, three, number four, Sandy Prince is $4. Race four, number three, is Stalking. Race five, number one, is Micro. Stalking is 8-1. Micro is 5-1. Race six, I like. Number one, here's the Tory, and number eight, Buffalo River in a Quinella there. They're both $4 chances. Race seven, number one, Karma Lash, is $13. Race eight, I like number four here, How Womantic, is about $8. And for the Caulfield Cup, I really like number three, Explosive Jack, at about $15. Race nine, number three. And in race 10, I like number three, Malkovic, which is about a $4 chance. So that's how I see him tomorrow there. And during the week, one of your favourite horses won, Jordan. I know you like that horse, Elephant.
Mm.
Did you see during the week, there's a horse won called Rhinoceros?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to win by a horn or a trunk, they're the ones you want to they're the ones you want to bet on.
Well, what we'll do next? We'll go to the zoo to see the race. We'll have the ride off and everything running.
I'll put all my money on giraffe then, and hope it just sticks its head down and goes for gold.
Well, if it wins by a long neck, it's going to be about 20 feet.
There we go, John. Yeah. We're out of time, but thank you so much for chatting today.
Okay, great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again next week, Jordan.
We'll do. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic It's Breakfast.